Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Jesus, for another opportunity to come together and meet with each and every one of you across the world, across the country. This is your host, Minister Vaughn Dillon, coming to you from Tri-Anointed Ministries here in San Antonio, Texas. So we're enjoying another crisp fall night. I think the high today was only in the high 70s or low 80s. I don't think we may have even hit 80. So, but it's a nice crisp fall day to enjoy. You know, sometimes we only enjoy days that if the temperature is what we think it should be or how we think it should feel. But praise the Lord, we have the knowledge of being able to put on a jacket or a coat or gloves or whatever the means is, just to enjoy every element that God gives us, because all things that He gives is good. Amen, amen, amen. And I know some of the times, even with the cold weather and the holidays coming about, is a time that we get stressed out because of different things. And a lot of those things we bring upon ourselves, and some things is just things we can't avoid, or we think we can't avoid those things, and that they just come up on us. But even doing those things in all times of our lives, all seasons of our lives, we are to remember that God is still the head of our life. We as Christians got to remember that He's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us, and we're going to talk about that and see can we relieve some of that stress. You know, it is no doubt in our minds, if we follow the Word of God, if we follow by and take up our armor and protect ourselves with His Word, walk in His faith, not saying that it's not going to be hard or it's not going to hurt, but you can go through. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're just doing a series right now quickly about stress. Are you stressed? Are you ready to give up? Are you just ready to just say, you know, it's no comfort for me? I'm a troubled Christian. There's nothing worse than trying to walk the walk, and you still can't seem to find your way through. God has an answer for you. I invite you to reach out to all of your friends and let them know that the broadcast is airing, and you can also go back into the archive and pull any of the broadcast episodes and then download them to your iPod, to your MP3s, whatever means are necessary that you need to get it. Get it. Just don't let it go by, okay? Hallelujah. So we're going to start with our scripture tonight, Malachi 3. Malachi is in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, and if we go to the last book right before we cross over and to start walking into the New Testament of Matthew, Malachi is this neighbor. And then we'll go into chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Amen. Start with our prayer, then our scripture, and right into the Word. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we just rejoice just in your presence. Just rejoice just with the sound of your name, and just rejoice just knowing that you're always there with us, not just now, but forever and evermore, and not just in good times, but in all times. Not just, dear Father, just for one race or denomination or one political party, dear Father, that you're always there with all of us. You are the creator of each and every one of us. Dear Father, regardless of how we get all disturbed and look at the skin color, we disturb by the different things, the behavior that we exhibit, but we all are created by you, and you want none of us to perish. And so we come to study tonight that we may be stronger, and that we know that if we listen to your word and start to apply that word, dear Father, and as long as we abide in you, you will abide in us. Hallelujah. We'll see differences in our lives. We'll see difference in our homes, in our cities, in our states, in our countries. And so that's why we're here tonight, dear Father. So may I decrease, and may your ever-loving word and power and joy just increase and bring comfort and cleanse us in all of our little dirty crevices that we have, and just reveal to us the things that would remove us and keep us away from you, and keep us away from your comfort. In Jesus' name, we give you and we pray. And we just salute you, Father. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Malachi 3, 1 through 5. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, say, the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit at the refiner and purifier of gold or silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness, and the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord. Hallelujah. As in days gone by, as in former years, so I will come near to you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless, who deprive aliens of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. Do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I will come. I am the refiner, and I am there for you. You know, the word fire sometimes scares us, so does water. And from the beginning of time, fire and water have been two of the most essential needs of man. We cannot live without them, but they can be turned into the worst enemies. Examples. A few years ago in Southern California, there was a raging forest fire, and it destroyed dozens of beautiful and expensive homes. And as the people began to clear through all of the rubbish and clear it off of their properties and try to make preparations for rebuilding, they became aware of a new danger. And that new danger was water. That the fire had just went through and destroyed a lot of this. The new danger was water. All the priceless watersheds had been destroyed by the fire. And with the coming of the winter rains, a worse damage threatened than caused by the fire. See, is anything more dangerous than fire and water? In Psalm 66:12, in describing the trials of saints, God uses these terms. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Let's look for a minute at that word wealthy. The word wealthy means abundance. It means a wide place, recovery, refreshment. And God describes the trials, troubles, afflictions of his children as fire and water, indicating that they are very severe. And at first, this would seem to be discouraging, right? With him describing the fire and water and the severity of it, but the joy, the victory, and the comfort is wrapped up in the word through. Through the fire, through the water. That's where we find our joy and our victory. Now, I know sometimes it's easy. You hear people talk about that, and they'll read through those verses, and they get stuck all through there. We went through the fire. We went through the water. And they leave out that. But God says that he brought us, he brings us continuously through and to wealthy places. We need to get our comfort in the word. That's why it's so important for you to read the word for yourself. That's why it's so important for you to pull out your own word, follow the word. You can follow the teachers, the preachers, regardless of who their name or what letters is before or after their name. And then you pray and ask God to reveal this word to you. See, a Christian is never submerged in the flood a Christian is never submerged in the flood, and he's not consumed by any fires. Consumed? Submerged? He always, always has this through. Even at the end of life, the psalmist declared, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death. See, these metaphors do not necessarily refer to different types of affliction, but it teaches the same truth regarding God's hands upon us. So we have to consider the trial of that fire then. Let's look at Job. When we're talking about trials of fire, we need to look at Job. Agree? Job compared his afflictions to just being cast into a furnace. God bless. Job 23:10, he said, when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, my goodness. So now he just compared his afflictions to be cast into a furnace. So that's the severity. We can see that, right? But then he just doesn't stop. Even though he feels like he's in a furnace, he said, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You read that. That's Job 23:10. Note the triumph words, I shall come forth. He said, through the fire, I shall come forth. It is one thing to testify after you have passed through that fire. But Job is still in the furnace as he's speaking these words. The heat is still on. His balls shoot flashes of hot pain through his body. He's still going through the fire. His lips are fever parched. He's scraping his oozing balls with the broken pieces of pottery. He's still in the furnace. His head is throbbing with pain. And then he's got these friends, and they're falsely accusing him. But he looks beyond his present trial. We've got to look beyond our current situations. He looks beyond that, and that's when he begins to shout in vibrant, reassuring faith, I shall come through. I shall come through. Put it down. You've been worrying about it all day. You've been talking about it all day at work. You've been talking about it to friends and family. You picked up the phone and told everybody. You've been on Facebook. I saw you. You've been on Facebook, and you told everybody on there. Just lay it down for a minute. Try something else. I shall come through in the midst of your fire to that loved one, and you don't know if they're going to be able to pull through or make it. You don't know, but in the midst of your furnace, can you just say, I shall come through with vibrant, reassuring faith. Job saw himself as gold in that furnace. See, sometimes our problems is we see ourselves as being destroyed during our furnace. We already see ourselves as giving up during the furnace, laying down in the midst of the furnace. But Job saw himself as gold in the midst of that furnace. David saw the children of God as silver in the refinery's fire in Psalm 66:10. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried, he said. Malachi links them both together. That's where our scripture came from. Links them both together, the Job and the David. He links together the metal and the silver. Malachi links both metals together is explained in divine chastening. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver and purge him gold and silver. Malachi 3:3. Go ahead and write that down because we're going to go through that and we're just going to get the understanding that we need tonight right here in Malachi 3:3.
again, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver and purge them as silver and gold. Why? You may ask, why would he do here? Would he, why, what's the purpose of it? Well, here's his answer. Here's his answer. That they might offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. So let's break that down. Let me explain something to you here. So the divine method that he's going to use is fire. The divine motive is to purge you, is to purify you. The divine objective is our righteousness. So how is he going to get you closer to him? How is he going to get you to where he needs to be, you need to be? Through divine chastening. He said, chastise me? He's going to use the troubles that you're going through. That brings you closer to him. You know what? That may be the last time that you crawled out on him. It's when you was in trouble the last time. It may have been the last time that you bowed down your knee, that you turn your face to the heavens and say, God, where are you? God, I need your help. So the divine method is fire, your trials. And what's the reasoning for it? The motive for it is to purge you. It's to purify you. It's to shape you up. It's to get you ready to be on your right walk. And the whole objective of all this fire, for all of this purifying and purging, is to answer prayers that you've been asking. God, I want to be righteous. God, I want to be more like you. God, show me what you need me to be. Tell me where you want to go. I will go in your honor, in your name. So the divine objective is your righteousness. It said that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. Trials of fire. There are five lessons that we're going to speak about that we should and may learn from this refining and from all of this purging process that all go through. We want to learn these five lessons, and not just learn them, but keep them in our hearts and remembrance. The first one is he cares. He cares. He truly cares. And then he cleanses. God cleanses. And it's important for us to know some of the things that we're going through, why we're going through, and what God is doing while we're going through. Because we're always asking, where are you? Are you not there? He comforts. He cares. He cleanses. He comforts. He controls. And he knows. You know, when we complain and moan and gripe and say, God, where are you? And you said you'll never leave me. You said you'll never forsake me. And it's just a pain that we get in so much pain that if we don't have the word, if we don't know what God is doing and how he's working in our lives, we just get discouraged. But we're calling him a liar. His word cannot come back to him void. He said he would never leave you, sister. He said he would never forsake you, my brother. Now, I know you got everything going on that may not be in the order that God has told you to do, but you're still determined that you want God to come and fix it right now, even, and you give up nothing. You say, well, I'm not going to give up shacking with this woman, but I need you to do this for me. Now, I'm not going to pay my taxes, but I need you to help me do this here. See, we don't want to give up anything. We want everything for free. Let's look at the five different lessons. Let's start with he cares. Again, all of our lesson is coming from Malachi 3:3. It said, again, he shall purge them as gold and silver. Never let Satan inject a doubt into your mind regarding God's love for you. He will take advantage of your present trials. He'll take advantage of your present tribulations and grief to whisper in your ear, where is your God now? God doesn't care for you. But I remind you, never let Satan inject a doubt into your mind regarding God's love for you. His word said he loves you. Even as little children, what is one of the first songs you learned in church? Or you may have never been in church, but you've heard it somewhere around the world. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. This is the truth. So if we reject and listen to the voice of the enemy that tells us that Jesus doesn't love us, then we're calling him a liar. Let's be frank with ourselves. We're calling him a liar. They have tried to take advantage of all those weak times in your life to tell you that God doesn't care. But he does care for you. You are so precious in his sight that nothing but the terms gold and silver can describe his concern. Gold and silver is how he is describing you. Now, if gold and silver are precious to the refiner, how much more precious we must be to God. He paid a price far more than silver and gold, and he paid that price for our redemption. It cost him the blood of his only begotten son. By comparison, he referred to silver and gold as corruptible. God gave all he had, the atoning blood of his precious son, to purchase your redemption. We need to really understand that and remind ourselves of that. Remind ourselves that it cost him the blood of his only begotten son for you, that he died on the cross for you, that he was pierced in the side for your sins. He was sinless, but for your sins, for my sins. He refused to come down. He would not come down from that cross. But he decided to die, save you. Have you thought about that today? A day shouldn't go by without your name being put in there. He decided to die just to save Vaughn. He decided to die. He decided to be whipped. He decided to be spat on. He decided to hang. He decided to take on your sin. He who was sinless bore your sin. He gave all he had to purchase your redemption. He gave all he had for you. And I dare we stop in the first little trial that we go through. You say, it may not be my first trial, Evangelist. Well, any trials that we go through, to call him a liar. What a comfort this should be to you right now that are stressed. Just to know what he did for you. We are his most prized possession. And he will allow nothing to harm us. The thing that happened to you is his means of increasing the value of his precious property, you. He allowed it because he's increasing the value of you. You are his precious property. And this is accomplished by increasing its beauty and purity. He's got to get us ready. And we were just worthless objects. We would never know the heat of the refiner's fire. If we were just worthless objects, we would never know the touch of his skillful hand. Beloved, the next time you feel the heat of that fiery trial, I encourage you to thank God. Just stop and thank God It is proof of your preciousness to him. You are his blood-bought child. You belong to God. You may be sure that he cares for his own. He cares for his own. He cares. And that's one of he cleansed. And I just remind you that you can reach out and let's pray about this together on a one-on-one basis. I can send you any literature that you would need. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, my name is Minister Von Dumas. I'm here in San Antonio, Texas with Tri-Anoint Ministry. And we're just working through these things together. It said again, Malachi 3:3, he shall sit and purge them. Every Christian who has ever been drawn to the Lord knows something of the sinfulness of his heart. And they also know of the impurities of his life. Every Christian who has ever been drawn near to the Lord, you know when you're doing wrong. You know the sin that is inside of you. You know what areas you're impure in. See, the closer we are to God, the more conscious we become of our sinfulness, the more conscious we become of our unworthiness. Romans 7, Paul calls it the flesh. And this body of death is how he refers to it. A body of death. It is the self in our lives that the self, we look at ourselves, it's all carnal. The carnality, the unholiness. And it dogs our footsteps all along the Christian pathway. The self. The chastisement. Fine means of answering our prayers for cleansing. Since we ask God to cleanse us, to make us whole. If you find anything that shouldn't be, take it out and cleanse me. That's our prayers. But when he starts to chasten us, it doesn't feel good. And so we question, why is he? But remember, it's just a divine means of answering our prayers. Did you not pray to God to cleanse you, to help you, to make you whole? He answers by putting you in the fire. He's just cleansing as a refiner does. As a purifier of silver. So we have to look at some of the things that is inside of us that needs to be cleansed. And to go through all of this pain just to purify me, to purge me, that means there's something inside of us that is a dross. Let's see what the dross is in yours. D-R-O-S-S, dross. The dross in your life is being burned in the fires of affliction. So you have to spend a moment in solemn reflection and just think, what is the dross in my life that needs to be purged, that I would have to go through this affliction? Just write down a few. You think about them as we go through. It could just be arrogance. That could be the dross in your life. It could be pride. Praise. You know the love of stuff praise? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, that could be exactly what it is. That could be the dross in your life. It could be the love of attention. Self-wit. Some people say, I just got a self-wit. But it could be cutting people, destroying people. Your dross may be just stubbornness. Are the one that we speak about a lot here at the ministry is an unteachable spirit. Preachers and teachers, have you ever, well, of course, I know you have if you talk for any length of time. An unteachable spirit. What about immaturity of jealousy, anger, impatience? Another one that we see all the time, the love of money. selfishness are that one that keeps so many people that sits in churches every Sunday morning, but they're filled with an unforgiving spirit. Amen? Amen. In order for us to understand why we're going through some of the trials, the fiery trials, we got to come clean. We got to come clean and look inside of us and see, what is it that he's trying to get out of me? What is it that he feels like he needs to purge and to get out of me, to purify me? He needs to do this. He needs to allow me to go through this fire. Why? Do I have stubbornness? Do I have anger, an unforgiving spirit, selfishness? Do I have an unteachable spirit? I don't want no one to tell me anything. Let me just figure it out myself. Well, all such as draws is you grieve the Holy Spirit. So it grieves the Holy Spirit. You know, have you ever grieved for anything or anyone, maybe the loss of someone, and you're just in grief that it's just like a blanket that covers you, that you just cannot allow to lay on top of you because you were smothered. Well, you know, as Christians, we can be walking around with a halfway smile and looks like everything is going okay, but we have so many of these different drosses inside of us that it's just grieving the Holy Spirit. We can't, the word can't penetrate. It attaches, and as soon as we get it, we lose it again. Because all of these different things is grieving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the one that dwells within you, you know? So we must be refined. We must be purged so our spirit can connect to God's spirit. This means we must pass what? Through the fire. But there is some comfort for you here. The refiner has a purpose, and it's not to destroy his precious gold. It's not to destroy his precious silver, but it's to consume the dross that's in your life, the dross that's as grieving the Holy Spirit, is to consume the dross and to bring out the beauty of you. Bring out the purity of his precious element, you, his gold. See, fire cannot destroy the gold. Fire cannot destroy the gold. It only melts it. And oh, how we need to be melted before God. How we need to be melted before God. When the gold is melted, then the dross floats on top, and it's easy for the refiner to just skim it off. How long has it been since you've been melted? Let's talk about the three unyielding Hebrew boys. They were cast into Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace. You know, and he said, you know, these boys the people convinced him, you know, these boys have been praising their God. King, we're going to have to do something more than just turn the heat regular. Let's turn it up some. Talk them into it so much that they end up turning it up seven times harder than usual. It's probably as hot as it would go. Seven times hotter than usual. Please note that they were in the furnace fully clothed and securely bound. But when they came out, three things were apparent. Not a hair on their head was singed. More than that, the fire had burned off their bands that were supposed to bound them. And even more wonderful still, the Lord had walked in with them in the fire. In the fire. He walked in with them. Hallelujah. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Even through your cleansing, that's proof. He's in the fire with them. The same three things happened to the Christians in the fiery fire trials. First, he's never harmed by a fire. Can you tell me that you were ever actually harmed by God's chastening? Oh, now this doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt, but always the hurt is good for us because
He's getting all of those impurities out of us. Setting the fire sets free from the shackles of the carnal world. Carnalities that hinder you. Those bound, the things that are bound in you, holding you down, are burnt free. You just get tired of carrying it around and finally you let go. The most radiant Christians are the ones who suffered the most. And then thirdly, God's presence is very real and it's very precious in the fire. Very precious in the fire. So you get to the point that you don't have to ask God, where are you? But you know that he's with you. You feel him all along. You feel him as the shackles are being burned off. You feel him that even though that thousands may come at you, they may fall to your right and your left, but none is harming you. You start looking and saying, whoa, even though I'm going through all of this mess, I'm still making it. I'm having doors open for me, even though all of these things are happening. I'm still able to pray. I'm still finding strength somewhere to say, I will come through. Yeah, God's presence is very real and precious in that fire. That same fire that you're going through right now. The next time you feel the heat from the fire of an affliction, what did I say we should do? Thank God for that he's consuming, not you, but he's consuming the dross out of your life that shall come bring you through that fire, bring you through purified and cleansed. Thank God that you're worth that much to him, that he refuses to let you stay where you are, the way that you are. Hallelujah. Through your trials, he cleanses and he cares and he comforts you. He comforts you through it all. And he knows. He knows. He's in control of it, so he knows what you're going through. We're going to stop here for tonight and we're going to pick up tomorrow with he comforts, just talking about his comfort. It's not a long series, but it's a defined series that is just changing the way that you think about things. He comforts, he controls, and he knows. I again remind you that you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. My name is Evangelist Von Dumas, and I'm available for you. And anything I can do to help you on your walk with Christ, I urge you to take a moment and just shoot me an email. Let's get in contact with each other. And then I remind you to help someone along the way. And if you would also like just to receive daily scriptures, just to know every morning someone is praying for you, someone has a word to start you on your way, shoot that information in your email. The list is growing and growing, and we send them out every morning. And we don't do them as a group. We do them as individuals. So if you want to respond to any of those, you can always just respond back to me, and it's just between me and you. Amen? Jesus thinks you're worth winning. He thinks you're worth refining. He thinks you're worth more than silver and gold. Hallelujah. Jesus came for you. He died for you. His reason is love. He loves you. It was love that drove Jesus to the manger, and it was love that sent Jesus to the cross. It's an amazing love that housed God's own desire for family reconciled. God is love. And the embodiment of all his divine love is the Son he sent to save you, Jesus Christ. Will you accept God's love today? If you're ready, just pray this prayer now. Open your heart and let these simple words be your guide. Say these words and believe them in your heart, and you will be born again. Jesus, come into my life.
Forgive me of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me, Jesus. And I just want to thank you for just loving me enough to die for me. I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on that cross. And now I just want to receive you as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Prayer, congratulations. Because you are a new creature in Christ. That's why I congratulate you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, old things have passed away. Your old way of thinking, the old things that you used to do. Regardless, if you still see yourself heading in that direction, remind yourself those things have passed away. All things have become new. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. What you're seeing me doing right now, don't worry. God is refining me. I'm a new creature in Christ. Friends, you have a whole new life with Jesus to look forward to starting right now. Your slate is clean before God right now. Your spirit has been reborn because of Christ's great sacrifice. So reach out and let somebody know of your decision to follow Christ. It's very important. We love you. All the heavenly hosts is rejoicing with you right now. And we'll see you here tomorrow night at the same time, 10:30 Central Time. Until then, this is your host, Evangelist Von Dumas, signing off and reminding you, above all the people in your life that care for you, that wants to comfort you, God loves you the most. And his love covers all of your sins. His love magnifies and it glorifies you. It makes you a better person. It strengthens you. All that you need is in his love. I encourage you, hold on to it. Wherever you're looking for it right now, that comfort is only temporary. In Jesus' name, we pray love in your household. Amen. God bless you.